you ever, I remember I was in church one time and I was singing the song and the words were on the screen. And anyone remember the old days when you had like pre-projectors? What do you call those things? Yeah, right. Overhead. Those were the days, eh? When anyone says to you the good old days, remember they had overheads. It wasn't that good. And anyway, and then I remember I'm singing the song, I'm looking at the words, and then the person switched out the overhead and put the right song on, and I had been unaware. Though I was singing the right words, that the wrong words were on the screen. I was so used to the rhythm of church. And so I want us to open our hearts this morning for those of us who are so used to the rhythm of church, that God might get to your heart, that He might get to my heart, that He might get something done in you that's actually, you know, a little bit transformational, a little bit powerful, a little bit set you on fire for Jesus. And maybe in the back and you're going, well, Darren, I don't know that I want that. Why don't you risk it? Why don't you risk it? Why don't you just go, well, God, if you are who you say you are, and if you're able to do what you say you can do, I'm open this morning. And if He's not, you'll leave the same way you came. But if He is, and you're open, and your answer is yes, He will do something that you never saw coming, like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. And I think He wants to get something done here today. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You that You sent Your Son, and thank You that You gave us Your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, interrupt us today. Interrupt us today, Lord, even though I'm not always comfortable, Lord, with my plans being changed. Interrupt the heart and the mind of Your people. Interrupt our thoughts powerfully, I pray. And do something, Lord, we don't want to do. If we just get done something we can accomplish in our own strength, what would that be? So God, we pray You get something only You can get done by Your power and strength. And in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Take a seat. Oh, it's good to be alive. I love life. I don't know. I love life. We've been doing prayer meetings. For those of you who know, we've been doing prayer meetings in Port for the startup there, and they're down on the beach. And sorry, I've got issues. I really do. Sorry, it'll help. I know you're judging me, but it'll help me. All right, there we go. Sorry, thank you. Help my head. We've been doing these prayer meetings, and what happens is every day I see this thing where the owners bring their dogs to the beach, and I'm not a dog owner, got no desire to be a dog owner, but I love this. And then they let them off the leash and they run. They just run, and you're like, oh, I want to live my life like that, you know, like. They're just, I'm like, oh, I want to start the day like that every day. And these dogs, they just go. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I want to live like that. And we're in the middle of the prayer meeting, just getting started. And two of the teenagers turned up this morning. And, well, they turned up most mornings, but they turned up this too. And they came bursting along the beach. And they were just like a human version of the dog. And I thought, yeah, I want to live with that. I want to, at my age, make sure that that's on the inside of me all the days of my life. And so, you know, as you move across these 21 days, may you pray that the passion and the fire of the Holy Spirit just beat inside of you like never has before. And if you're not sure what that looks like, an expression, just watch Kerry worship. I feel like I'm a conservative Protestant when I watch Kerry worship next to me. I'm like, okay, I love you, Jesus, so I'll just go a bit harder here. But some of that in my faith. And so, so we get started. It says this in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I'm going to preach slightly shorter because we're going to turn this into a prayer meeting this morning. If you brought your friend and you're going, Darren, I can usually trust that you're going to stay on plan. It still won't be weird. It'll just be powerful. And so just get comfortable. And if you've never been in a prayer environment, you're going to see what the church is like. It's a praying church. And so, but Jesus makes this statement, you know, right near the end. And He says, hey, here's what I've left you to do. And so Jesus' last command is the cause. that every Christian is called to. If you are a follower of Jesus, a believer in God, this is what he has called us to above all things, even the things that we are uniquely called to and gifted for, to serve this higher purpose of making disciples in the world in which we live. And so this year at the chapel, across the chapel, you know, we want to advance that with some focus, and we want to help you with it. We want to help you with it. And so let me read this next scripture, because not only was that Jesus' last command, here's his very final statement on earth. What would your final statement be? When I first started flying, now I can be on a plane and literally there are times when I'm working on my iPad and focused, and the next thing I go, oh, we took off. Or sometimes I think we've taken off and I look out, especially at the Sydney end, and go, oh, we're still on the tarmac. But in the early days, I knew exactly where we were because I was freaked out. Thought I was going to die every time I caught a plane. And so I wrote a letter this time. I'm catching a plane just to Sydney, and never heard of a plane going down between Tamworth and Sydney, and catching a plane. And so I thought, I'm going to write my kids and Bron a letter, because they were young then. And so I write the letter. I hid it in my drawer because I didn't want anyone to ever find it if I made it back to Tamworth. And sure enough, I made it back to Tamworth. I forgot about the letter, and sometime later, Bron and the kids found it. It was a very amusing moment for them. But the reality is, when I thought about that two-pager, I thought about what do I really want to say to you? And it was full of faith, I'm sure, and I'm sure it spoke to their future and who they were and what I saw and all that kind of thing. But I thought, what if these are my final words? Well, here are Jesus' final words to his church. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, Tamworth, Narrabri, Armidale, Port Macquarie. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes in a cloud and hid him from their sight. Last words of Jesus: you're going to receive power from God to be my witnesses into all the earth. His final command, our first command, our highest priority, is to go into the world and make disciples. And his final words were that you will receive power to go get that done. When you put those things together, above every cause and any calling that is on our lives, there is a calling for every believer across the planet to go, and as they are going, to make disciples to the degree they can. And with that comes a promise that God is going to give us power to get it done. And who knows, some of us need his power. I need his power. So where are you currently with this? Like, where are you at as it relates to this highest purpose on planet Earth? And if you're not really activated in this area of your life, what are you currently involved in that is of greater importance? And I want you to just sit those two things side by side. What are you currently involved in that is of greater? So, and like many of you, I want to enjoy life too. But as I do, I want to be about the cause of Christ, because he's at work in the earth and people's lives matter and their souls matter and eternity matters. And so across the chapel in 2024, we're bringing focus to this simple idea about going after the one. Our hope is, and not only our hope, but our plan, we always put plans behind vision, is to mobilize more people than we have ever before in going after the one. And so Luke chapter 15 from verse 1, let me read to you. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. What a bad slur. He eats with sinners. And so he spoke this parable to them. Jesus speaks back to that and says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost? I worked so much on an iPad, I went to scroll up. In my brain, I went just like that. That is weird. Shows you how little I read from the paper version. Sorry, my brain's getting around that. What one of you loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. He doesn't abandon the 99. He just goes after the one to bring them back to the 99. Important distinction. And he says, and when he found it, he lays it on his shoulder and he rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and he says, rejoice with me, for I've found my sheep which was lost. They throw a party for the one that was lost because the one that was lost has been found. And this is the idea through Scripture. Jesus, or our God, is an Ephesians 3:20 kind of God, and I can get enamored with that. This idea that this enlarging, expansive, exponential God of the impossible. But at the same time as he is all of that, and he is all of that and more, he's in relentless pursuit of the one. And it's why many of you are here, and it's why I'm here. I just tried to get away, and I couldn't. Wherever I went, I'd be in a nightclub and trying to just, you know, do what you do in a nightclub. And I'd be having thoughts about, what if Jesus returns now? Like, that will ruin your night out. And if you're living in two worlds, may that be your story the next time in the corner of a nightclub. May you not be able to shake the Holy Spirit at work in you, that you might surrender your life to him and come to faith in Jesus, that you'd live a transformed life. And so anyway, I don't know how we got there. And so he says all of this to them. He says, hey, we celebrate. And so Jesus saw the one. Jesus wasn't against the crowd. Sometimes they set these up as opposites, right? Jesus loved the crowd. He saw the potential of the crowd. Later on, he speaks to the potential of the crowd, the harvest potential. But he always sees the one. He'll reach into the crowd to get to the one. He'll go outside of the crowd to get to one. He'll go beyond the crowd to get to the one. And he says, and when we get the one, they celebrate. And verse 7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and over 99 just persons who need repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? Now, the coins don't work for you and I, but what one of us, what's the most amount of money you've ever misplaced? And it's large, is it? I saw that hand, so do you want to share the amount? Okay, $9. This is good. For some of us, it's $9. For my daughter, Kate, it's probably $5. And for some of us, it'd be thousands. Not me. I haven't got thousands sitting around in cash envelopes. But the number's different. But the point is, it was an amount that mattered. An amount that mattered. And it says, who of you, if you lost an amount that mattered, wouldn't go looking for it? It says, she turned the house upside down, and when she found it, she called her friends and neighbours. Rejoice with me, I found the peace which I lost. And then it says, verse 10, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels, we're not speaking figuratively, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And again, Jesus is just continuing the narrative. And then he goes into the story of the prodigal son, and he closes it out with these words. I'll read it from here because it's easier to find. He says, hey, the older son's upset, which some of you know. He says, my son, the father said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours, and we should remember that. But we have to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. And you get this idea that he's the God who goes after the one, and when he finds the one, heaven celebrates. And I want you to think about that, because no matter how strong a Vision Sunday we have, no matter how big a building we build, no matter how powerful a prophetic word, no matter how strong the miracle, no matter how much of an outpouring could go on in this place, here, now, tomorrow, next week, or some point in the future, there's this little beach I play on, pray on in Port. And, you know, as we're launching a church there, and I say to my son, this is Cathedral Beach. In 30 years, they will be talking about the people that gathered on this beach, and they'll have to rename it Cathedral Beach because of what God did here. And so whatever the story, even if that happens, even if it's a Jesus revolution revisited, even if it's that, heaven doesn't stop and celebrate. But it does for the one. It does for you. It does for me. It does for the person. This is how big this is to God. It's so big. They might get this image on the screen of my children, I hope. And this is the image that stays on my phone. This is my kids when they were little, when they all slept in one room, even though we had a large house at the time. And they all slept in the one room. If you said, can I go visit a day in history? That is the day. Go back there at that age and put them all to bed together, side by side. I'll take that over anything I've ever had in my life. When I was there, I wasn't thinking like that. So young parents, it's okay. You're just thinking, go to sleep. I'm tired now. I really need a rest. But right now, on the other side of it. But I have lost all of my children. That's a true fact. At various points in my life, I have left them all somewhere, unfortunately. And such is my memory. And how do you forget your children, right? But here's the thing. When I lost one, I remember one time they were little, and I was working for Arnott's, and I was running a church. We're in the startup days, and I'm exhausted, and it's the middle of the day, massive hours, and I'm just exhausted. And one of the kids had to go down for a sleep, and so I said to Brian, I've got to sleep for an hour. I'll sleep while they sleep, and then you come home. And so she went out. She comes home. That child's door is open, and the child is gone. And I'm like, what has happened? And this is the early days of mobile phones, so we probably were on prepaid and had no money. And so I go out in the street. I am up and down. I've checked the house. I've checked the yard. I am up and down the street. And in the end, I'm standing on this four-way intersection, and it felt like, you know, the movie where they'll do an intersection shot and the person's meant to be in turmoil and it just spins? And it was just, that's what it felt like. Anyway, Bron came home with the child. She'd come home. I was still asleep, didn't want to wake me up, decided to take the child, didn't leave a note. I didn't know. But here's what I know. I didn't go, when that child was missing, I didn't go, I've still got two. I'm good. Right? For a side note, in case my son listens, I'll take the two girls, Lockie, if I have to settle for two. But no, but not really. Not really. You can't make that decision as a parent. What do? You go after the one. And so God is the God who goes after the one, and it's what he calls us to as well. And so all this year, amongst all that's going on, threaded through the theme of it with focus and intent, is this idea. And so with that in mind, I want to talk to you as we start to think about mobilizing more people than ever before and going after the one. I want to talk to you about this idea in the moments that we got, winning the war in the spirit, because this is where it starts. Winning the war in the spirit. The image is already up on the screen. This is an article. Okay, cover it from you. This is, no, leave it there. This article is the Battle of Dunkirk. Who's heard of it? Who's anyone seen the movie? Battle of Dunkirk. Right. So Battle of Dunkirk, more than 300 Allied forces are on the southern tip of France, as I understand it. But what the rest I know is, and they are about to be annihilated. The German forces have them completely surrounded, and there is not the military resources to get them off the island. They're going to be annihilated on the peninsula there, or whatever it is, the tipping point, the tip of France. More than 300,000 Allied forces. Historians say, and then what happens? Adolf Hitler gives a command, or one of his generals, no one wants to take credit for it, give a command that they pause for 3 days. They say it might have turned the war, it certainly saved Britain. And it was this crazy situation that everyone acknowledges is this massive turning point in the war, where Adolf Hitler with the British on their knees at the point of annihilation on this southern tip hits pause for 3 days. And then something else happens, the channel. The journalists say the channel went like bathwater, so you could move across it easily. And then a fog settled in. All these crazy things happened. And so they sent the ships and they sent civilian boats across the bathy water under the cover of fog so the Germans couldn't see, and saved more than 300,000 people while the German force stood at arm length away, able to annihilate every person that was there, but decided to hit pause for 3 days. And of course, the story that doesn't get told is this. In that time, neither the people nor the media called it the Battle of Dunkirk. It wasn't a battle. It was a miracle. And that's what they called it. The Miracle of Dunkirk, they called it. And this image here, that there is a queue to get into, what's the Abbey? Westminster. What is it? Westminster Abbey. That is a queue to get into Westminster Abbey on the day that they call people to fast and pray so that God might do a miracle and save those who were trapped in Dunkirk. And so all day long, right across, people went in and out of Downton Abbey. Sorry, I keep forgetting. Westminster Abbey. I meant to say Downton because I was struggling for Westminster. They're going in and out of Westminster Abbey, but not only that, if you read the article, this was repeated all over the nation in churches and synagogues and temples. People went and prayed, and the miracle of Dunkirk happened. The fog came in, the water settled, civilians came, and everyone was saved, and the war ultimately turned. They say that Winston Churchill, after that, because the king ordered that, they say that periodically across the rest of the war, Winston Churchill would call the nation to times of prayer and fasting at critical moments in the war. There is something so powerful about the combination of prayer and fasting. God didn't do it to make my life a misery. He did it because there's something about it. There's something attached to it that you and I would say no to all that is natural and say yes to Him in a way that something spiritual could go on. And it's been a vehicle and a tool for breakthrough since the dawn of time and to this very moment. And so it's threaded through Scripture. It runs across history. It's seen in this moment and it's still happening today. The power of prayer and fasting in your life and mine, in a community, in a city, in a nation. And so winning the war in the Spirit, that's where they started. All hope was lost, but they won the war in the Spirit and something turned. So in this final week of prayer and fasting, I want to point you to seven things to pray for. If you remember one and catch the idea, that's great. But I want to turn you to seven things to pray for and that we might win the war in the Spirit in mobilizing more people than ever in winning the one. And so James chapter 5 says the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and it's effective. It's powerful. And it's effective, the prayer of the righteous. In fact, sometimes the prayer of the unrighteous is powerful and effective. My dad maybe rings me once a year, maybe. I ring him two or three times. He doesn't always pick up. I'm pretty confident that he doesn't still know my birth date. And he rang me last week. I thought, that's weird. Maybe he's decided he should return the call. And anyway, my dad rings me. And he starts just chatting like my dad does. My dad is a 4X drinking, gambling, northern Queenslander. Right? You think of the northern Queensland image I just painted? That is my dad. He is every bit of it. And my dad rings me, you know, a little small talk, and he says, "Hey, Dad, here's what happened this week." He said, "My wife Sonia got a really bad report. She's in hospital and they've got to do surgery. So I prayed. I prayed and they opened her up and she was healed." If the prayer of the unrighteous has power, how much more the power of someone who believes in Jesus? He calls us to prayer, and so let me give you winning the war in the Spirit, seven ways to pray. If you're not sure on this, start praying for your family and start to just do fasting, whatever it looks like for you. Personally, I love food. And personally, I think food's the most powerful way to fast. But you can add social media, because that social media time becomes your prayer time, and it definitely does something as you turn your mind to God. But I'd say put food with something. Let's do it. And even if it's just a meal, and that's where you start. And you've all heard the story, haven't you, about Bron and our daughter and skipping nerds? Yeah. So here's seven things to pray, and then we're going to turn this into a prayer meeting. Some people are going to help me. Dan, who didn't respond to my text, I hope he knows that he's praying for the first two things. And then Sam, and then Pastor Kerry Logan's going to come. And then after that, we're going to pray for Kerry, and we're going to finish on time. And so here they are. I wasn't having crack at you. I was just letting you know you're on. Number one, you're doing the first two. Number one. Just do the first one. Let's change it. Where's Bubba? He's going to do number two. Is he in the room or is he on kids? Where is he? All right, you're going to do number two. All right? Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you for offering your time. Pray you'll see. Number one, pray you'll see the harvest potential in those around you. Just start to see it like my dad. I'm like, okay, Kerry's talking about reading the Bible with someone. I need to read the Bible with my dad. He might not go to church next week. Oh, I'm glad you came. Can we do that song, Holy? We're going to do that and we're going to break into this. Pray for the harvest potential. Now just start to see it. Jesus said the harvest is everywhere. It's the laborers that are few. Just pray for the harvest potential. Say, God, help me to see it. Help me to see people as I move through the day. Help me to see that they are ready for your kingdom. That, you know, would you have picked me if I'd walked past you on the way into a nightclub, you know, on all kinds of concoctions, having a party at 19, 20 years of age? Would you have gone, that guy is going to be a preacher one day? Probably not, with my long hair. And you probably didn't. But Jesus did, the Holy Spirit did, someone did, my nana was praying. You just never know what's going on, just to see the harvest potential. Number one, pray for laborers. That's what the Bible said, just pray for laborers into the harvest field of soul. Jesus said, that's the real issue. It's not the harvest, it's the labor force. And he said, that's the challenge. So pray that the Lord of the harvest will raise up laborers into the harvest. And just pray that again. Number three, let our hearts be, it's not you, it's us. Let our hearts be moved by people. It says when he saw the crowds in this text, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You know, someone's, as they say, someone's social media feed is their highlight reel. It's not real life. And I remember seeing this picture of this family that I knew really well, and they were having this massive fight, and then the wife got the kids and the dad to stop. We're all on the beach, and they're having this fight in front of us. And she got them all to stop and sit in the front of their like beach tent and took a photo. And then the tag was like, having the best day ever. That's people's lives. That's people's lives. Even if they are having the best day ever, life has rhythms and seasons and flow and joy and heartbreak and everything in between. And pray, God, move my heart. Create your prayer list. I know your pastor's already spoken about that. Who's on your prayer list? I love that story last week. I wish I'd heard it before you so I could tell it in full. But D.L. Moody, 100 friends, prayed for them every day, like every day, every single day. He prayed for them every day. 96 come to faith in his lifetime, Kerry said, and 4 came to faith at his funeral. Hey, there's some people that you and I can be praying for. Who's on your prayer list? Have you done that yet? Let's get a list going. Your barista, your social media account, your work colleagues, your friends, your family, your kids. Never, my grandma prayed for me for 21 years. 21 years before any of her grandchildren turned up serving Jesus. And then it was off. Then a few of us started to come. And now their children, and now churches, and now all the rest of it. 21 years. Don't give up hope. Who's on your prayer list? That person who you think is gone, put them back on. Number 5, pray for God-given boldness. Ephesians chapter 6, 19 and 20, Paul says, hey, pray that I'd speak when that God... words may be given me that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I would declare it fearlessly as I should. Let's pray that for each other. I appreciate your prayers too. I want to be bold. I want to be natural, but I want to be bold. Pray for boldness, that people would announce their faith, that people would spark a God conversation, that people would invite to what Kerry called temple and bring people to the table. Let's start to pray for boldness. Number 6, pray for a renewed revelation in the power of the cross to redeem. You and I aren't that clever. We can't get it done. The simple message of the cross, the Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus died for our sins on a cross, and he paid for the penalty of the world, and he paid for the penalty of you and I. The message doesn't change. He was resurrected from the grave. That has had power to save for billions of people right across history, and it has here today. Pray that for the renewed revelation of the power of the cross to redeem. And then number 7, pray God move by his Spirit and bring salvation to many. Acts 2, 47 says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Well, if it's daily or weekly or monthly or quarterly, we'll take it all at this stage because we want to see people come to faith in Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand together. We've got a few minutes here, and I'm going to invite the guys who are going to lead us in prayer. Now, you might be a quiet. My wife's cousins are all Sydney Anglicans, and a bunch of them are Sydney Anglican ministers. They pray very differently to how Bronnie prays. And I pray somewhere in between the two of those worlds. And so it doesn't matter how you pray. What matters is simply that we bring our heart introvertedly, extrovertedly, but sincerely before God. And so if you want to pray as well, you lift your voice. And let's pray. Let's turn this into a winning the war in the spirit moment and a winning the war in the spirit week. And that we'd be able to point to this moment and go, something went on there, like the miracle of Dunkirk. In a localized context that saw salvation break out You know, the original church for us in Tamworth, when we first started, the original breakout of salvation came on the back of the combined churches of Tamworth prayed for 40 days and fasted. We actually were brand new to it, so we didn't fast. We didn't know. But we were the recipients. And people started coming to faith in our church, and they must have all been looking going, they didn't fast, we did. Who knows how God works, but we know that something happened on the back of that. Salvation started to break out. So let's believe here today. Let's believe for something only God to go on. We're going to pray these seven things. We're going to do it in just a few minutes. But we'll take. I want to make sure that we create some space. So let's do this. And thanks, guys. Over to you, Dan. What's our number one here? Let's lead it.
Let's pray together. We would have faith to each day stand to attention and ask for you, God, to reveal potential harvest. What are you saying to us? Sometimes it's simple as a gesture of kindness that will open up a conversation. We ask that we go into each day fully leaning on you for this, not in our own strength, our own wisdom and our own understanding, but we get up and go, what are you saying? What are you doing? It'd be the equivalent of standing by a fast flowing creek, and in order to move, all we have to do is step into the water. What are you already doing, and how can I be a part of that? Not reinventing the wheel, but asking, what are you doing? Where's the potential? What conversations do you want me to have today? What service would you like to give me today? Who do you want me to pray for today? How do you want me to do that? Help us to see the potential.
Yes, God. Lead us, Holy Spirit.
And also for laborers, help us to pray. And as we pray for laborers, to realize that we're praying for ourselves.
Yes, God.
It's no good praying for laborers if we're not willing to be one of the laborers, so that there's a harvest on board. Help us to be a laborer. Help us to be laborers. And as Daz said a bit earlier, you know, we might think, oh, what difference? What makes a difference to that one? Like the man who walked down the beach throwing red starfish back into the ocean and the thousands of them, and someone said, what's the point? And he said, well, it matters to that one.
Yeah, amen.
It matters to that one. Help us to know our role in this and your resource.
Yes, God. Yes.
You are the before and after. We're the ones that need to stand to attention and play our role.
Yeah.
Play our role. See to the potential and stand up and put a hand up as laborers.
Yes, God.
Amen. Let's do this, Sam. Let's pray.
We're going to pray for our hearts to be moved by people, their story, their stuff, their souls. But before we pray for that prayer, and then the next prayer will be for God-inspired prayer list. Before we pray, I just wanted to share this just to give us an inspiration to pray. I was working in Sudan, and missionaries would come in, and many times they come thinking that Sudan needs them. That's what most of them would say. But once they see the needs that are there, their hearts are moved by compassion. And as a result, they're changed. You know, they are humbled. Then the statement changes and they say, oh, we thought Sudan needed us, but we needed Sudan. So I just would like us, as we pray for this, that as our hearts are moved by compassion for the people's needs. You know, Jesus, the Bible says when Jesus went out, he saw the multitudes, and his heart was moved with compassion by the people's needs. So let's just pray that as our hearts are moved by compassion for the people's needs, we will be changed at the same time. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you, oh God, for every soul on the face of the earth, and particularly, oh God, those that are within our spheres of influence. We pray, oh God, that you will open our hearts, oh God, to see those needs, oh my God. That, Father, it will not just be what we think, oh God, but it will be the power of the Holy Spirit inspiring us to see beyond the physical, oh God.
Thank you, God.
that we may identify with their needs, oh God. We pray, oh God, that we'll be compassionate, oh my God. We pray, Almighty God, that we will have empathy, oh my God. And we pray, Almighty God, that as a result, we will also be humbled, oh my God.
Yes, God.
By those things that are we think are normally enough for us, oh God, and to move us out of that situation of more than enough, of self-sufficiency, of selfishness, oh my God, into a place where we identify with those needs, oh God. And Father, oh God, as a result, oh God, we pray as we bring the names of the people, oh my God, will be the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that will cause us, oh God, to bring out these prayer names, oh my God. And that, Lord, you'll be they'll be surrounded with your glory, oh God. We bless you, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so if you're here and you're like, I love all of this and I want to do it, but I need some boldness from the Spirit, would you just like lift your hand up? You need some boldness from the Lord. You know that He's asking you to do something, but you're like, oh, I just need some help with that, God. Do you know what? He'll help you. He'll help you. So if you need boldness, maybe just raise your hands or open your hands to Him now. We're going to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't come to this earth to save us and then leave us, but you've given us your Holy Spirit to help us follow you, Jesus, to help us be a witness for you, Jesus. And so I pray right now for everyone who has their hands raised, even for those who don't, who just have this ache in their heart, like, God, I want to do this, but I need boldness from you. I need you to help me, Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that in this moment you will bring that boldness. Lord, I pray that you would bring such a confidence, God, to their hearts because of who you are, Jesus, not because of them, because of who you are, that they would have such a boldness to speak about their faith, to be a witness of their faith, to tell people, this is what God did for me. I was one way and now I'm different. Thank you, God, for the boldness that you will give those. And guys, I have all our prayer cards from last week, so I've got them here in my hands. Let's just begin to pray over our friends and our family who are unsaved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for every one of these names. Thank you, God, that you know each person, you know each family. God, we pray that you would be at work in the lives of these precious people in Jesus' name. Even now, God, as we're praying together in this place, just like we saw at the Battle of Dunkirk, we just, as we begin to pray as a church, Holy Spirit, would you begin to move in these families today in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name, in the life of every person, Jesus, we speak your name over every family, over every person. We pray for salvation, God. We pray for your provision, Lord, that people would just have stories of like miraculous provision that could only be from you, God. It could only be from you, Lord. And we just acknowledge in this moment, God, that it's nothing, that we have no power to do anything except by your Spirit. So would you help us, God? Would you equip us, Lord? Thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. You have not left us. You've given us your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for the names that we've brought before you and for many more that we haven't written, we thank you because the Bible makes it clear to us that you do not wish that any perish, but that all men come to salvation. And so, Father, we speak your word over this city. We speak your word in our homes, and we declare that your salvation indeed moves in Jesus' mighty name. We call forth, just like Jesus Christ called forth Lazarus. We call forth every name we've written. We call forth the city. We call forth Australia. We call forth New South Wales. And everywhere where we are, Father, we call for every that are bound in the name of Jesus, and we declare the salvation of the Lord. As Paul said, today's salvation has come into us, so we declare it so in the name of Jesus Christ. As the wind brought in ravens in the past, we declare that the wind of the Spirit will bring in salvation from the north, the east, and west of this land and where we are in the name of Jesus. And as tools, Lord, that you use us indeed. Lord, if you need hands to do anything, ours are here. If you need feet to go anywhere, Jesus, Lord, we give you our feet to use. Send us, Lord, send us. Lord, use us, Lord. Put in our spirit, come upon our spirit, the things that you are. Let the things that break your heart break ours in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for salvation, Lord. We thank you that your spirit brings. The Bible says in Acts that the spirit added to the church daily. Father, we thank you that daily, daily, Lord, we will have testimonies of men coming to you and knowing the salvation, men being set free from the bounds and the chains of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. And it shall come to pass that by the reason of the anointing, the yoke of sin, the yoke holding of oppression shall be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's sing. Right here, sing this to the Lord. Lift our focus. Put our eyes on Him. Worship the Holy God. Yeah, Lord. Come on, let's sing. Close your eyes. Sorry, Karen. We're going to sing that again before we go. We're going to sing. Were you going to go there? Were you? Were you just going
whatever
there?
Whatever you want, man.
I just want to, I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want to pray. And there is no way that if you're not right with God here today, if you haven't made peace with Him, there's no way that you're not moved by His Spirit. He's moving me. He's for sure moving you. So with everyone's eyes closed, we're talking about the celebration that heaven goes on when a sinner, and some people don't like the word sinner, but that's who we are, we're people who get it wrong. When a sinner makes peace with God, and the way we make peace with God is to acknowledge that we've gotten it wrong, we've stuffed it up, we have sinned, and that Jesus did come into the world and died on a Roman cross to pay the penalty for sin, and that as I put my trust in that He paid the penalty for my sin, that penalty goes on Him, and I am right with God. And so with that bit of knowledge today, are you ready to make peace with God? Are you ready to go, yes, Lord? I'm definitely not walking with you. I'm definitely not going your way. I recognize that Jesus died for my sin. I'm putting my trust in that today. And from this moment forward, I'm surrendered to follow you. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand? I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I'm just going to pray a prayer. And then raise your hand. Is anybody in the room? Go, yep, that's me. I need to get right with God. Let's do that right now in Jesus' name. Is that you? Raise your hand so high I can see it. Pray. God, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for every single person already right with you. We pray for those putting their lives right with you right now. We recognize that we have all sinned and gotten it wrong. Lord, we put our trust in Jesus today, that He paid the penalty for sin, that we might be right with you. And so I thank you for forgiveness right now. As people surrender their lives to you, may you baptize them by your Holy Spirit, I pray, that they might walk and live with power, Lord, until that day when all of us leave this earth and we are present with you for eternity and forevermore in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's sing one more time. Then we're going to pray for Kerry, and I'm not sure, and I've never taken you over time. We're going to be a little bit over today, but let's worship Jesus. We're soft, hey? We're soft. Let's worship Jesus. And I want to prepare the room so we can pray over Kerry. Let's go. I won't stop you again.
Holy.
to pray over Gary, who weren't you? Close your eyes with me, you can agree. Gary, I was praying and thinking about all kinds of things when you're doing a long drive, but I couldn't shake this thought over you, that God would place a fresh anointing upon you, a fresh mantle. And if you look through scripture, this is how it works. David, King David, had three anointings, and the second one was an enlarging tent, the third one was the expansive kingdom. And you see this idea through scripture. You see God take some of the mantle on Moses and distribute it to the 70. And this idea happens all through scripture with Joshua as well. And then God just brings a fresh anointing for the season. And so here's what I think. I believe that that God, thanks mate, I didn't want to ask you to stand with your wife, but we will, it's good. That your anointing would be an enlarging of the tent anointing that enables you to lead the stretching out of curtains, that enables you to look people in the eye and say, hey, don't spare, let's go for this, strengthen the stakes, and to be able to not only prophesy but see and lead what it says there, the expanding to the left and to the right, and of course not only even that, but out of this church, the descendants and ascenders to nations and places far away, which this passage talks about. And so I'm really praying, and I want to pray right now around that in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pastor Carrie, and we thank you for, Lord, all that you've brought her and Armadale Church through and to and now towards. And we thank you for the incredible grace that is upon her life and recognizable to anybody, Lord, who looks on. And we thank you for, Lord, the anointing that has seen into now. But now we pray, Lord, for the fresh anointing, the anointing of the next season, able to lead enlarging, able to lead, Lord, not just easy people, but complexity and strong leaders and the next place that you're leading this church to. I pray that Kerry would have the sensitivity of the Spirit to discern between an opinion and a preference and what is the Word of God. I pray for a Lord, a courage that is strong in her to be able to say, this is the way we're going and this is what God has called to us. And that it have clarity and conviction, Lord, that would not be shaken. And I pray, Lord, even as you do that work in her life, Lord, I pray there'd be a response to it, not a rebellion against it, but a response to it. Lord, not out of arrogance, but out of clarity and conviction. And so we commit it to you now. And I pray, Lord, what that season needs to look like in terms of her role and rhythm, in terms of the churches. I pray you do that good work, that you give her the download of heaven, the template of heaven for the next season. But most of all, we pray for the salvation that means and the disciples that means and all of that, and that she'd be able to lead it. But not only that, that you'd bring men and women, Lord, that would rally to the cause and lead in alignment as she leads this church forward. So we pray for that now. Your blessing, your power, your anointing. In Jesus' name, all right, amen. God bless you. Thanks, Jesus.